Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Pulling Heartstrings with the Matriarch here on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM. Today is the 29th of the 4th month of 2025. It is a Tuesday evening and the time is 22:05. My name is the Matriarch, as previously stated, and we are show spearing and show running, and we are running the show all the way to midnight. Hello, hello. So, ladies and gentlemen, when you work in the service industry, right, there is a phone for work and then there's a phone for your private things, especially if you are like the owner of the things, right? Then you know that this is the business. This is the business. And this is my personal phone. Now, if you're anything like me, you know that there's nothing happening on the personal phone. There's no calls. There's no missed calls. There's no, you know, ghosting. There's nothing that's happening there. To be honest, there's nothing that's happening there because your focus is most now with the dinero, the guala, the guap, the money. And your whole life starts revolving around the work phone. So one thing that also happens there is that the only texts and calls you get there on the work phone are just questions. People asking questions about questions about questions about questions because you are almost a service provider, am I? You're a service provider, so people are asking questions all day, every day. That's all you do. You answer calls, you answer calls, you answer calls and questions and questions and questions. And then when you go back to bed one day, you answer calls and texts inside your head also. It is what it is. That is apparently the price that we have to pay in order for us to be successful one day and be in a position to pay for therapy later. It is what it is. So now I'm thinking, oh my goodness. I was not actually thinking this. I was like, you know, I was just looking over the horizon, you know, waiting for the text to become at least 40 for me to reply simultaneously after each other, like, pa, 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 pa. Yes, no, good morning, hi. Yes, no, good morning, hi. 200. You know, I was waiting for the text to become 40. And then I receive a call, and the call comes through, and the call is, I know how much was the money supposed to be. I'm like, what do you mean? Because I like excitement, Moss. I like excitement. So, you know, when exciting things like that happen, you just start going with it instantly. So the lady on the other side of the line is like, oh, how much was the money supposed to be? And I'm like, it depends. How much was the money supposed to be? I dive straight into, it depends. How much was the money supposed to be? And she goes on and says that, no, the thing is that we had issued an invoice for 30,000. And now all of a sudden, it's at 9,000. How did it drop drastically like this? I'm like, well, the thing is that I worked through the numbers and first of all, it was not even supposed to be 30. It was actually supposed to be 32. And then I deducted the 32 and made sure that we went down. And then from going down, I made sure that we went up again. So it was 32, 35, and then we went to 37. And then later on, it started declining drastically from 22. And then it went down all the way to 9. And that's it. That was the final tabling. And she's like, but who approved this? And I'm like, Jerry approved this. He approved it. And she's like, but Jerry is saying that he did not approve it. I'm like, did you even call Jerry yet? No. Why don't you call Jerry and then you rectify this mess that you did, because this is all your fault. How are we supposed to be arranging a wedding with $9,000? And then I said, but the thing is that the money is supposed to be at least 37, but then we came down to 9 because Jennifer also said that, Jerry gave the go ahead. And how? She's like, you know what? Fix this. And I'm like, ma'am, the only way I can fix this is when I get home, because I'm currently on the road. So I would advise that you call Jerry and you call Jennifer and then you see how this mess is going to be fixed, because right now I'm on the road. And she's like, no, you call Jerry and Jennifer. And in that moment, I realized that I don't think this woman has any idea what's happening in her company, because all the names I made up, all those names I mentioned now, are all made up. So Is there really a Jerry at their company? Is there a Jennifer at their company? I don't know, but somebody is about to plan a wedding for 9,000, from 30,000 to 9,000. We're like, yay. So that was the drama. You know, it was stimulating because now I was having an argument with somebody over something that I really had no idea about. And I'm guessing that, she was probably a previous client that called and made a booking, and then she just saved the number there, and then she just started shouting because I usually answer the phone like Eagle FM, hello, but she didn't listen to that part. She didn't listen to the introduction. It's like you when I didn't listen to the introduction. So I guess that's what's happening in Namibia. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. How are you guys doing? The number in studio is 083-288-401. Today is Tuesday, and you know, I was thinking about beautiful conversations to have on this Tuesday evening. And part of the conversations that struck a nerve were narcissism and what it is and what it entails and how it goes about and signs, etc., etc. I was thinking about it for a while. And then I ran across this story, and you know, most I'm a storyteller. I ran across this story and I was like, but this one's nicer, this one. This one is nicer than narcissism. This one is nicer than favoritism and nepotism and all the tisms. Racism. It's nicer than all the tisms, right? And I kind of diverted. I was like, you know what? I'm going to start with this one and then we can dive into narcissism. So good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Before further ado, I would like for you guys to take a quick breather, go grab yourself some water or something, and then we dive into it.
Did you know that in Namibia, over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are? With over 600,000 cumulative users around the world, between the Eagle FM and Imba mobile apps, Eagle Media House has the perfect digital platforms for you to advertise your business, upcoming events, weddings, vacancies, funerals, or any other announcement that you have on their digital billboards in their mobile applications. Put your ad on our digital billboards, and with one tap of the screen, lead users directly to an address of your choosing. For more information, contact Hende at 081-410-9077. That's 081-410-9077.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Pulling Hard Strings with the Matriarch here on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM. So, ladies and gentlemen, today I'm going to tell you guys a story. So once upon a time, there was a guy named Alex. Now, Alex comes from a home where he has two parents, right? One is Jennifer and one is Jerry. Those two from the first story is them. So anyways, so Jerry had what we call an alcohol problem, which is a common phenomenon in this country. And I don't know if Jennifer was a smart mouth or she was always just getting in trouble for all kinds of things with Jerry. So Jerry used to accuse Jennifer of sleeping with the neighbor, talking with the neighbors, laughing too loud. Everything about Jennifer was just troublesome for Jennifer or for Jerry. And it seems as if it was a nightmare upon a nightmare upon a nightmare. So at some point they had a child and his name was Alex. I was expecting the child to be Jerry or something with a J, then they could have been triple J, but okay. So they had a child named Alex, and then Alex lived with his parents, and in the midst of the chaos, right? It was fights after fights after fights. It was dramatic. It was traumatizing for a child, you know? And one day, Alex's mom just took off. She just disappeared into the night. And there's nobody that could find her. So the next, a couple of days passed. And at this point, Alex was like 5 years old. So he went to kindergarten. And the kindergarten wasn't far. It was just down the street. You know, these neighborhood kindergartens, right? So it was just down the street. So what he used to do every morning ever since his mom left, because his mom used to walk him to school, right? What he used to do every morning is get himself ready and eat whatever he could eat, and just walk to school by himself. And lucky enough, he learned how to cross the street, so there was never a scare in terms of he might get bumped or he might get what. But you know, when a child is not taken care of, we can all tell when a child is not taken care of. So usually he would wear different clothes, but eventually all the clothes became dirty, right? Because nobody was washing them. And he tried, as a five-year-old, he tried to wash the clothes. He tried to make himself a lunchbox. He tried his level best. And also at the same time, he was also helping his dad out. You know, when your alcoholic father, passes out on the couch, and then you try and drag him to the room or cover him or take off his shoes. And he was the primary caretaker of his father, basically. So these telltale signs, because when mother left, there were still clean clothes and there was a little bit of order within the house. So when mother left, he could run through the clothes and he could wear the clothes until the clothes eventually got dirty, got weary. And he pulled this off for like 3 weeks, right? He pulled it off for 3 weeks. And, one day he was having like a little moment in class where he sat in the corner and he just looked outside of the window. He stared outside of the window into oblivion. And you know, for teachers, it's important to know the students. It's important to know what your kids are going through. And so they had started noticing was now the lunchbox is not organized for starters. So it's just thrown in. And then also the clothes officially disheveled and they're not clean and they are not ironed as he usually had. Because his mother was a very neat person. His mom was like one of those iron out everything and clean up everything. And this is not something that they expected from her. So the teacher went up to Alex and asked, "How are you doing, Alex? What are you looking at?" And Alex is like, "No, I'm just looking to see if mommy's coming to get me." And the teacher went on to ask, is mommy supposed to be coming to get you early today? And he said, "No, but I'm hoping that she'll come and get me because ever since she left, I miss her." And this was Alex's words. And the teacher went on to ask, "Where did she go?" And he said, "I don't know. She just woke up and left. Daddy said she went. And that's all." So the teacher was a bit, you know, that instinct that was there. She was a bit iffy on that one. So she decided that, you know what? Let's call the police and we'll call gender tomorrow. And then we'll see how Alex is tomorrow so I can ask him more questions. So the next day comes and Alex comes to school again. And this time around, Alex has a bruise like on his arm or something like that. And he's light skinned, so his bruise showed. So teacher found him again at the window and asked, "Hi, Alex, are you waiting for mommy again?" And Alex said, "Yeah, I'm waiting for mommy. I think she'll come and get me any day now." It's like, "Oh, okay. So what happened here?" And Alex is like, "No, Daddy didn't mean to. He just hit me a little bit because I wouldn't stop crying for mommy." And teacher's like, Oh, okay. Does he hit you a lot? And Alex is like, now that mommy is not home, yeah, he hits me all the time. But when mommy was around, he used to hit her. So it's like, oh, okay. You know, the teacher is not trying to alarm the child, and the teacher is not trying to make the child close off, right? So she's asking these questions. And she asked, what did you eat last night? And he said, well, daddy didn't cook last night, so I had to try and make noodles in the microwave again. And it's like, oh, okay. So how do you get to the microwave? And Alex is like, well, I climb on the chair and then I get a dish from the sink and then I put in water, but I wash it. I wash it because mommy said we must wash dishes. So I wash it and then I put in the water. And then I open the noodle packet and then I put it in the microwave for two presses. So I press one and then I press two again. So I press two times. Like this. Then he held up his hand. Like he presses, you know, he presses the 30 second button two times. So for him, that's two presses, right? So he's like, I press two presses. And then I put in the soup packet and then I press two presses again. It's like, oh wow, you're a smart boy. You really know how to make noodles. Oh, I wish you could teach me. Yeah, I can teach you anytime. But the noodles are about to finish, so you should come soon so I can teach you soon. Because there are no noodles after they finish. And the teacher's like, okay, you know. And the teacher went on to ask, are you happy? No, I'm not really happy because I'm always scared of daddy. And then also, mommy's supposed to come and get me, but she has not come back yet. I wonder why she didn't take me with her. And the teacher is like, nah, there's something wrong. Now, if we go back to the story, or if we go back to Jennifer, right? What the teachers knew about Jennifer is that no matter what she was going through, Jennifer always looked nice and she always smelled nice. And also, Alex was Jennifer's only child. So Jennifer was active in the school. She's there for the plays. She's there in the cutting up, the scissor things, and she's there participating. And even if any of the teachers are absent, the principal usually used to call Jennifer, because she didn't work. She was just at home. So she was like a stay-at-home mom. So they would call Jennifer and just to stand in, you know, maybe give her some work. Like, no, the kids must color in these pictures today or whatever. So she was like a substitute teacher, but unpaid substitute teacher. So the fact that Jennifer had been not at the school for the past three weeks and 4 days was alarming, because she was a person that was walking the child to school and she was the person that used to wait for him outside, and that all stopped. And also, one thing about Jennifer's child is that Jennifer's child was never dirty. Jennifer's child was never bruised. Jennifer's child was never at school with crisscross shoes. So you know that children wear the bananas, right? They just put on shoes just like that, and they don't know most which shoe goes on which, as long as I can walk in them. So now, Alex has been wearing banana shoes for the past 3 weeks. So he's like, that just shows that there is nobody to correct him, or there's nobody to tell him that he's wearing banana shoes. So all of these things, the teacher looked and asked, who's picking him up from school? So who is picking you up from school today? And Alex is like, I'm hoping mommy will come and pick me up. But if not, I'll just run because I just live down the street, you know? And he's like, oh, you live down the street? He's like, yeah, I just live down the street. So I just walk with Tate Hengari's house. I just walk with Tate Hengari's house, and then I just walk with Me Lovindao's house, and then I just cross the street over there, and then I go to Miss Matriarch's house, and then I go to Miss Elizabeth's house, and then I'm home. So it's just the same side, because Mommy said that you must look one side and look the other side and look this side again, and then you cross the street when no cars are coming. So I always listen to Mommy. It's like, oh wow, you're a smart boy, aren't you? You're so smart. Like, yeah, Mommy says I'm smarter than my age. Mommy says I'm a big boy. Mommy says that I know how to count all the way to 20. This is the same person that didn't know the presses. But yes, Mommy says I can count all the way to 20 because I'm so smart and I'm going to be an astronaut. And then the teacher smiled and she's like, oh wow, okay. So where is Daddy? You know, where's Daddy right now? Where do you think he is? And Alex is like, I don't know. Maybe at work or maybe at home. I'm not too sure because yesterday when I got back from school, he was home, and the other day as well. So maybe today he'll be at work because he has to go to work. Or that's what Mommy says. He has to go to work. And then teacher's like, oh, okay. So what does he do when he comes back from work? Because these are beautiful questions to ask to understand before you make phone calls, right? So what does he do when he comes back from work? He comes home with his special cool drink, and he drinks his special cool drink and watches soccer. He's a soccer fan, so he likes the blue team. He likes the blue team with a lion. He likes that team, and then he gets very angry when the other team score, and he doesn't like that. It makes him very upset. It's like, oh, okay. So what happens when he gets upset? Sometimes he beats stuff, and sometimes he throws things against the wall. The other day he broke a glass, and then I had to pick it up. And you see over here, and then Alex showed the teacher like a little, it wasn't a little cut actually, it was a big cut on his hand because he had to pick up the glass and the glass cut him. So he's like, yeah, so I had to pick up the glass after Daddy broke it, and then it cut me here, but Daddy said I'm going to be fine. It's like, oh, okay. All right. Does he get angry a lot? All the time. Daddy's always angry. I've never seen Daddy smiling. Daddy's always angry. He's always angry. But Mommy says that he's just sad. It's like, oh, okay. All right. And Alex is such, he's such a delight. He's such a bubbly boy, you know, a bubbly boy. And slowly but surely his light was kind of dimming out because 90% of the time he was just looking at the window. He was looking at the window and he was expecting his mother to come and get him. But every single day it was just another day, another day, another day, another day. And the teacher asked, so when you get off from school and you go home, who opens the door for you? And Alex is like, well, sometimes Daddy forgets to put the key at the secret place. So I just get in through the back door because the back door doesn't lock. It's like, oh, okay. Why doesn't it lock? Because Daddy broke the door the other time. So it just doesn't lock anymore because it's broken. It's like, oh, okay. Oh, okay. You're interesting. So what's your favorite color? And she's like, and he's like, blue. I like blue because blue is for boys, because Mommy said blue is for boys. And then Daddy also said blue is for boys. So otherwise you're going to be a fairy if you wear other colors that like pink, because pink is for girls. It's like, oh, okay. That's aggressive. Oh, that's nice. So how come you're not wearing blue today? And Alex is like, you can't wear blue all the time, silly. You have to mix and match. You have to wear all the colors of the rainbow so that you can be a ray of sunshine, just like me. That's why you have to wear all the colors, Miss Marty, and you are going to be a rainbow too. And she's like, wow, Alex. Wow, wow.
Tired of being stuck in queues or left on hold? Our online sign-up lets you get the connection you need in just a few minutes. Simply head to paratus.africa/Namibia and press the online sign-up button. Then choose from our exciting ranges of fiber, Sky-Fi or mobile LTE products. Fill in the application form and you're already done. Of course, you'll also enjoy free installation on your new package. Sign up online today to enjoy effortless connectivity. Always
prepare. All right. So, we're talking about Alex tonight, ladies and gentlemen. It's story time and we're talking about Alex. Now, Alex's story is a story of many children. But let's focus on Alex. So at that point, Teacher Marty decides that, you know what? Okay. So this was around break time. So he doesn't even want to go out for break time. And she asked him, so what's in your lunchbox for today? And he's like, today I don't have a lunchbox because there was nothing to put in it. And then Teacher Marty is asking him, now why didn't you put in noodles? And he said, noodles are not for school, silly. That's for after school and for dinner. So bread is for the lunchbox. But there isn't any bread because daddy didn't buy bread. And mommy's not back yet. Where do you think mommy went? I think mommy just went to visit her friend. Oh, okay. What did daddy say about where mommy is? Daddy said that she's not coming back because she doesn't want to come back because she doesn't love us. Oh, okay. So at this point, Teacher Marty is like, no, take this $10, go to the tuck shop and go and get yourself a hot dog, okay? All right. Then the boy goes and gets a hot dog. And then Teacher Marty immediately calls the police and then he also calls Ministry of Gender and explains the situation. And also there by the police, she explains that this woman is not a woman that would go missing. And if she was going to go missing, she would go missing with her child. There's no way that she went missing and just decided to leave her child, especially not with her husband. She would have taken the child if she went anyway, because that is what she usually does. She carries him on the hip like an accessory. And then the police was like, okay, so we'll question the man and we will revert back. So when the police came, they knocked, and at that point, I think it was like around 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock, they did a courtesy call before shift changing or whatever. And imagine the call was made like at 10:30 in the morning. And they are going to just visit the house, Komatango, but okay. They go there and they say like, no, we're just doing a welfare check. It seems as if some residents are a bit worried about your child. So we're just doing a welfare check on you and on the child. So they found that Jerry Anwamone Nale, he was already drunk and he was already aggressive and he was already everything. So at Jerry hears the knock, 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 knock. And, Jan, who is it? Okay, let's not paint him as that guy. He's like, who is this? Who is it? And, he goes to the front door and it's the police, you know. And immediately this man just starts sweating and shaking, and they're asking, no, we came to do a welfare check because a few people are a bit worried about you guys here. And we just wanted to know, where exactly did the mother of the child go? Because there are some relatives of hers that reported her missing. So where did she go? And Jerry is like, no, me, I don't know where that pig, huh? I don't know where that woman went. Maybe she just ran off with a lover of hers. I don't know. She's a very promiscuous woman. She's very loose. She's very for the streets. She's just very, like, she's just very for the streets. So we don't know. Maybe she ran off with a lover, or I don't know where she went. And they went on to ask Mosnawa Kucha, okay, so, and mind you, this person is intoxicated to some degree, right? So they ask, like, okay, but are there any family members? How long have you guys been together? Like, no, we've been together for 7 years. It's like, okay, so, do you know any family members that we can contact and ask about her whereabouts? Because, there are people that are worried. It's like, who are the people that are worried? She doesn't have family. Jennifer doesn't have family. Who are the people that are worried about Jennifer? Oh, why are they worried about Jennifer? Jennifer, is Jennifer a person to be worried about? Jennifer is like that, Moss. And then the police is like, no, there are people that are asking. They want to know, you know? It's like, who is it? Who is asking about Jennifer? Maybe this nosy woman here, matriarch. This nosy woman that is living here, that is very nosy, is maybe this woman. Like, what is it? Eh? And at this point, you know, when the police, you know, when your fences are low and they are made out of iron, right? Itend. Or drat. Your neighbors can most often see what's happening. So now the neighbors are all peeping through windows because they saw a police car. They're all peeping through windows and then just examining Kucha, what is happening. Now this lady that is being accused by this Tate Jerine is now at the kitchen window checking. And then this guy comes out and he's like, yeah, this matriarch woman, she's always in our business. I don't know what's wrong with her. Maybe she wants me to sleep with her or what. Me, I don't like old women, man, it's like, leave me. I'm trying to make this guy not a bum. But I can only really slur in a shwamp. So I can't slur in English. You know, like, leave me, man. What's your problem? That's such a fun, me, Afuka. Eh? Yeah, okay, that's a better me net, man. Ne man, je crap me vadi son me skinny, man. Eh? And this guy is standing outside, you know, in his wife beater, because he's like wearing a vest, you know, those wife beater vests from American movies. So he's standing there, and he's a slender guy. He's like a slender, slender guy, and he's making all kinds of movements, and the police is now looking at him like, ay! Nenanga. You know? So who are you with at home? I'm with my boy. I'm with my child. I'm with my child because that Jennifer just went. And Jennifer, good evening.
Hey, the matrix.
Tatu Kwezi.
Yeah.
Onna. Yeah, no Honda.
You know.
Onanga. Eh, to put it in a guy.
Let you go on and
then. Wait to go, Jennifer?
Yeah, I'm going to get him.
Oh, what? Hi. Osho guys, tanti ku chonga zinja na ye. Kai nimbari wa mkwetu.
Eh?
Kai nimbari wa. Kai nimbari wa, kai nimbari wa. Kai nimbari wa, toka to kongo chokongo zi business.
Your business, huh?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, zinja ye. Oh, no, man. That thing in there.
Hi. Mimi, Shivika, I was busy.
Oh, you were busy.
There is no meeting. I think that's like online. So I just finished now. The Taresimba and the matriarch is still on.
I'm just here. I'm talking about you guys. So you must just stay tuned so that I can finish the story so you can come in.
Okay.
Ewa. Ciao. All right. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome. Welcome. So, this man is being asked now. Oh, who's it? Like, so who do you stay with? I'm staying with my boy. I'm staying with my son, my biological child. It's my child. I'm staying with my child. Now, these people are like, the police is like, you know, the police is used to seeing Iponga and she. So, so when they see us acting a fool, they're like, ah, yeah, ne. Like, this one deserves dry out, but who will stay with the child now? So they decided that they are not going to take the man for dry out because, you know, he's a responsible parent. He's there with his child. So it is what it is. So. The police takes a peep inside, you know, peep inside the house, and the house looks disheveled. The house looks like there's really, just really no woman there. And it is what it is. And he's talking, man, the truth. But now the problem is that, they don't know now where this Auntie Jennifer went, Moss. So it's hectic. So then, when they leave, the next door neighbor, the matriarch, decides to call the police aside, come. Then the police go there to go and listen, Moss. And Miss Matriarch is like, those people, they are always fighting. Those people, they are always fighting every day, day in and day out. Those people are always fighting. I don't know what they fight about. That man drinks too much. He's drinking everything and he's always just bothering. Like that Jennifer girl, man, you say she went where? She just went because I went to the house the other day. It's that auntie that knows. I went to the house the other day and then I just went and I saw that I found the boy just there and he looked very hungry. So I called him over to the fence because his father doesn't like it when, you know, when we are talking to them and stuff. And I called him to the fence to hear my aroma pruike. First time I gave him a bread because he didn't look like he was fine. And you know, we are neighbors. We laugh each other and we are trying, but this man here, this man's a very difficult man. This man is too much. It's too much. And he doesn't want the woman to work everywhere. Every time, the other time she was working at this other Haysverk house. And this man went to that Haysverk house and went to beat out all the windows of those people and went to beat out the windows and then he did beat her like this and drag her by the hair and say she's sleeping with the manier of that house. So she has not worked anymore. She's just at home. She's just with her baby boy. But you must come and you must ask again. Is she not maybe at the mother's house? Because the mother is living just there in that other location, the other side. And then the police were like, oh, okay. So where exactly? Like, no. Then this auntie directed, like, you know where the shop is, ne? Just this cello house. Her name is Elise. Her mother's name is Elise. Yeah. You just go there. Her mother is staying there. So the police found it odd because everyone that is talking about Jennifer is talking about Jennifer as a mother that adores her child, that loves her child, that would never leave her child, you know, no matter how tough the going got, the going never got tough enough, you know, to just up and leave. And even if she was going to go anywhere, as many other nights where she has sought refuge in neighbors' homes, she always grabbed her son and they ran together. So it was very, very strange for her, that's Jennifer, to leave the child with the tate. So, okay. So these guys decide, like, you know what? We just started and we're already here. So let's just go to this house of Auntie Elise. So they drove, the police now, they drove, they went to go and check, like, oh, hello. We are here looking for Auntie Elise. And then there was a granddaughter or something that went to call, hi, mama, the people are looking for you outside. Ah, man, the police is looking for me, man. The people are looking for you outside. It's the police. They are looking for you outside. And then when the auntie came out, like Auntie Elise, ne? When the auntie came out and she saw the police, right? You see, when somebody passes away, it's not the ambulance that comes and gets them. It's usually the police that comes and gets them when they have passed away. So the ambulance is for living people. So when you see an ambulance, you should not be alarmed. When you see a police van, the one that is closed without windows, that one, ne? It's either suspects or body. One of the two. So when Elise came out of the house, right? And I don't know, I think she's become so accustomed to death. When she saw the van, she just started crying. She, like, trauma response, you know. She started crying, ooh, you know. She just started, what, quick, and then we go straight. Like, she just started crying, and it was just wild. And the people are like, they don't understand, because the police doesn't understand, why would you start crying? We are police officers. Why would you start crying? But I think that, when you, especially from small towns, the police car is also just, it's not giving police. It's giving mortuary, violent deaths. So she comes out and she starts crying and she's just, wat het gebeur, you know, what happened? She's just asking what happened. You know, she's going on, what happened? And the police is like, nee, mama, we just want to ask a few questions. You know, we want to ask a few questions about, your child, Jennifer. And the woman, the onkugo became extra now. Die man het my kind doodgemaak, man! That guy killed my child, you know? She just starts going crazy, like, because the police is asking her to have a conversation about her daughter, Jennifer. And instantly or immediately when she heard the name Jennifer, her daughter, she started crying because of the previous history of violence that has been between them, she just automatically went to that one. It was just, diamond, they can do it, you know, that guy killed my child, and she's just hysterical, and she's crying, and until like one of the granddaughters had to come out and just console her, and then the other one had to come and talk to the police now, like, what is it? What happened to Jennifer, you know? And like, what is it you are upsetting? Because you are upsetting our mother, and our mother is already like fragile, because she's like at 80. She's already fragile, and this is not good for her heart and her blood pressure. So the other one comes, and then she's like, no, what happened to her? And the police is like, no, there's nothing that happened to her that we know of. It's only that, she has not been home for a couple of days or so. She has not been home. And Jerry says he doesn't know where she is. Apparently she left or ran off with someone. And the teachers at the boys' school are wondering where she is, because apparently she's not a person that just disappears like that. And that's why we came to ask, because we got the directions by the lady that lives next to Jennifer, them lives next to them. And we just wanted to come and see if maybe she's here, so that we can just give an accurate, report and an accurate explanation or briefing to our superiors, most, because this is something of a concern that came through to our offices, and we just wanted to follow up on a lead or something like that. And then the daughter is like, no, well, Jennifer is not here. And we also haven't seen Jennifer in maybe a month now. We haven't seen her. But last time they were here, she came with her son after school, and they just came to visit the grandmother. And then they left like at 4:30, because, the, 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 the husband was coming home. So they left like at 4:30 so that they would be back at 5. And because he didn't really like it when she visits people or go out or stuff like that. So that's the last time we saw her. And that's about it. And then the police went on to ask, like, so is she a person that usually disappears? Like, she usually just goes like for 2 to 3 days and come back nonchalant, or is she like, what's wrong? Like, is she like that? Like, give us a briefing of who she is and what she is, you know? Good evening.
Evening.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you.
Oof, it's late. The way you answer the phone is like morning.
Hello. Like, ow. Where were you in Morningville? Hey, Anna. How? Calm down, ma'am.
You sleep in the morning, so I...
Eh? I work at night with the owls, Moss.
So
have you been listening?
No, my dear.
Yeah.
I like it when you come tell me.
Ah, no.
Personally.
No, my dear. Me, I don't listen to your shows. I just like coming on your show and then you tell me personally what you're talking about. Ha. Huh?
Yes,
huh? No, my dear. How?
What do you call it?
One-on-one. Yeah, one-on-one class. Ah, no. Say no.
Getting to know you.
Getting to know you better, too. So, she'll get in there, kilongo, that way, and then get in there. How? Say. Come on, no, man. It can't be like that. You know you have to be listening, Moss. No, I don't have to listen to her shows. I can just call her and ask her what she's talking about. How, like, defeating the purpose. So the whole 1 hour, we're just going to be repeating.
And she'll summarize for me.
No, we cannot summarize. Kucha, I'm a fast learner. How? No, you cannot come and fast learn your things here. You might just listen when the class is being done. Now, this is like having private tutors.
My thing was misbehaving.
How? That's like the way you guys are all using that one, eh? Like, oh, Epa and
Jay. Buy for me earphones.
How? Oh, Epa and
plug in. How? The app doesn't need headsets.
The app doesn't need headsets, guys. The app is immaculate.
Yes, so if you want me to listen better.
How if you want me?
And not,
if you
and
want
not
me,
come with an excuse.
How if you want me to listen? If you want. Eh?
You can leave the listen part out also.
What's that? Say, if you want me to listen, my dear man, you better buy earphones. Otherwise, this is your life. Hello, so what are you talking about today? How? Every day.
But not the ones that are wireless, the old school ones that you plug in.
Those old ones?
Because they work like an aerial.
Antenna. Frequency modulator, right?
But you do have my headset, so yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you weren't listening for real?
No, my thing was misbehaving.
Yeah?
Like, for real.
Yeah, this one is not a... Is not
I did not have app issues. App is working. It's just that I had charging problems.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Yeah, but this conversation in itself is not one of those conversations where I can just tell you, we are talking about sympathy. This is story
what
time.
What's the other word?
Narcissism.
You're talking about the story. No,
yeah,
no.
We're talking about a story. We're talking about what Jennifer.
Did Jennifer die?
I don't know.
No,
oh my God. Too soon.
You know.
Too soon.
Look.
She la roshi penatango, too soon.
I was having phone problems for a couple of weeks, right?
And then you came back to news.
And if
news, Ngundana.
it is Sarah who is selling the girls to people and old people and who is what, and the service station. And
the service station got robbed.
I was there at like 8:20. It was robbed at 9. I was supposed to come like 30 minutes later. So she, I would have, something must have fallen somewhere.
Okay, Pandi. Wait, we can't begin it. Go back to Pandi. Ow, ow.
Find that skipper. That one I did not steal it. I picked up.
Hey, you picked it up inside the net and get outside, huh?
Oh, one more thing, I go so a couple. Like, I know our people's electricity or houses being repossessed, or they are using brutal force. Like, serious robbery.
My dear, you should see our health minister running.
It's not those things of midnight things anymore.
Pro daylight. Current affairs, my dear. You know, I was on the Ministry of Health Facebook page today, and there's a video of our minister running.
then look.
You know what? What made me laugh a little bit?
Since you mentioned that, before you continue, right? You started most of the president by accident. The president is like the top, like the fastest. So if you are talking about ministers running, the health minister is running, she cannot come close to our president. our president is running, perhaps not physically, but what I'm hearing.
She's on a treadmill, bro.
Ooh. Yo. Last speed. Yo. I think we must have more women. Then next. Who's next? Shashi. I know. She started nice one. Ooh. Mm-hmm. And even the people that are with her. So far, the rotten apples, they take themselves out most. You must see how they are falling out. You see, most.
Me, all I know is that if Baloti runs for president, me, I'm choosing.
No. Look, the president is the top. And the president is like the owner of the soccer team. And she picked now the players. The person is from Italy, what. And you is from the neighbor, even the neighbor does not go there. To console. No go boxer, go by file, you go.
Wait there.
Maybe if they like to talk. Nah, JP, you miss it, Avian, JP. Okay, foreign. Yeah. Because then they cannot run their own thing. It is evident, even to run a hospital lunchtime, took the 5 years.
Look.
Just to say that long in your shift upon.
No, but the thing is that with that one, like it sounds very good. It sounds nice when we make initiatives like that, ne? But to be honest, that's not her call. That is a Ministry of Labor issue. So now we have to change the contracts that state that you shall have one lunch hour from 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock every single day. We have to change every civil servant's, no, every civil no. servant's, so, what do you call it?
Elizabeth.
Eh.
I'm sorry, Demetria.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to the bank.
Yeah.
Right? All these, vital, departments within our country, right? They need to work non-stop. Even when the people knock off, it is still running. If you take the police, right? The police works non-stop, right? And the police is also saving lives. Not Ministry of Health, but is protecting and saving lives. Now, if you say the Ministry of Health also is to save lives, how can the Labour Act come and take over also there in that no, from 1 to 2, you can stop saving lives. Like, it does not imply to, there are certain parts that are not, that the Labour Act falls off a little bit.
Where right? now?
For example, police and health. Those are vital. They need to keep running non-stop.
Do they know this?
Yeah, no, they see. Look, the people are just used to, because look, from 1 to 2 is the time that you must go pick your children up, you know? And then it's the time that you are accustomed to, where you go meet your other friend that you gossip with, because that one is fixed lunch, 1 to 2, and it is where you get to go to town also, and all those things, and quickly rush to the bank. But it cannot work like that. Health and police, right? Those two, and defense force, those sectors can, they run non-stop until the end of time. How long wake a shifter, that connector, 1 to 2, 2 to 3, even Eagle FM, the matriarch. We for lunch.
I cannot go for lunch because I don't work. I don't work 10 hours a day.
Yes, and even those people, their hours will still fall in.
Yeah, but the problem is who's going to pick up our kids?
You must make provisions. It's just like the matrix at work now. But in the morning, when she cannot wake up and go make kataki and all those things. So she has to make provisions. Must find somebody who can help her. Yeah, life is just like that. Huh?
Okay.
The ball needs to keep rolling.
Okay.
But apart from that, it's simple, man. It's not even a labor issue. It's just talking to the departments. Look, make a roster here, man. Quickly. What are the timetable, Abu? Who went when? It's just like, I'm familiar with the shifts of what? Of the
private sector.
Of the hospital. Because my mom worked there for a very long time. 7 to 7. 7 to 1.
Okay.
Because you know that I used to stay, I used to know it out of my head, because I know today I can call. If she go out, if she goes 7 in the evening, I come back tomorrow 7 in the morning. Yeah, so I might just make sure I'm back at 6. But so far, it's not about the roaster, it's about the, it's not just talk, you know, we're seeing, I'm seeing implementation.
I'm telling you that one will not work. I'm telling you now that one will not work. And no. Then it will become an issue. It will become a labor issue.
If the people themselves, right, the staff, right, have no complaint, as long as you still get your 1 hour and you still complete the hours,
mm.
right? It is nothing. The labor comes in, right? When mm. someone feels that their rights have been violated, the workplace.
Mm.
Yes. But yeah. if there's mutual grounds and everyone understands, it is not to say that no one is going to go at one anymore.
Mm.
There are people who make one, then you get 10, just so that you, it will also help, right, that mm. you are servicing quickly and you don't have a heavy workload
mm.
that you come back to at 2 o'clock.
Mm.
And then you are working under pressure also because you will not close before or you... You will not work comfortably looking at long lines.
Mm. Okay.
So it just needs to be ironed out.
Mm.
Like to say that no, it will not work, I think it's a bit too harsh without giving it an opportunity because this is just a matter of a discussion within the unit because it was not the argument. It's mm-hmm. like, look, guys, and
mm.
lunchtime is the time that the person is getting from work also mm. to go to the health place because they cannot afford not to go to work.
Mm.
So now you are forced to take a whole day of leave.
Mm.
You are already struggling. And then that whole money for that day, you are not paid.
Mm.
But if you can also just rush in lunchtime quickly, you know. So mm. it's just a balance, man. I know people are people, man, who will understand each other, man. I know there's always one. Just say, look, me, guys, I mean, may I pick my kids up?
Mm.
May I pick my kids up? And then one will say, no, me, my kids come out at 12 o'clock. You know?
Mm.
I have mine come out at 2. Oh, okay. Shabalansa.
Mm. If that was the case, then at 1 o'clock, there would still be somebody.
No, there will not be somebody because now, look, we all start at the same time.
Mm.
And all of us, we are you know.
Mm.
If you were employed last year and you find the thing running like that, after a couple of years, most all those people that were in the beginning are not there. So all of you just fall into that old routine that you have found.
Mm.
Or something. That's what the Chinese said, like, every day 1 o'clock to my switch off the machine.
Mm.
You know?
Alright, thank you so much.
But I wanted to ask about Jennifer.
Okay.
You said you were talking about Jennifer.
Yeah.
Mm. What happened?
No, I'm telling a story, so it's one of those that you have to be there to know what's happening.
Oh, it's the river in Jirashini.
Mm.
It's like you really need to be there from the beginning. Mm.
Mm.
Is the story still continuing?
Yeah.
Mm. I don't know, let me not waste the time for Jennifer's story.
Okay.
Maybe I'll catch a little bit.
Okay.
Towards the end here.
Okay.
Mm.
Ciao, ciao.
You make me feel like it's morning.
Okay.
Ah, we're good. See you then.
All right. Bye. All right, ladies and gentlemen, to go on with our conversation. So, basically, they were saying that, no, we just need, to go and give a briefing with now. We need to go and say what, you understand? So, Jennifer's sister is like, no, generally, Jennifer is the person that goes everywhere with her son. She doesn't walk around. She doesn't drink. She doesn't do bad things. So, we also don't know where she is. But for her to be not at home is something alarming. And then, the police is like, okay, did you guys think of reporting her missing? Because, you know, it's been over 48 hours. Maybe you guys can go and report her missing, you know? And then, that's now the part where the sister went to the mother and told them, Kuja, no, the police, they're looking for Jennifer. They haven't, somebody said that she has not been active and she has not been seen anywhere in the past 3 weeks. But, so they're advising that maybe we can make a missing persons report so that they can look for her in an official, in official capacity, official business and stuff like that. So, okay. So the mother is like, okay, you can just go. So this, she's not dead. She's not there in the Mbaba. She's like, oh, no, she's not dead. It's only that the people are looking for her because, she hasn't been at home, what. So, okay. So the sister goes with the police and they go to the police station and then they fill out the forms and open the case for a missing person and all of this. And she was helped instantly. It was fast, chop, chop. And then the police got to work. When the police got to work, it was now the, they're really getting to work. So they started now investigating. Ah, no, we are investigating a missing person. We're investigating a missing person. So the next day, the police officers decided that no, they are going to the child's school. So when they went to the child's school, they went to the child's class and Teacher Marty now opened the door. It's like, oh, hello, officers. And, you know, the police officers, they come in, they stand at the door and then she tells the kids, say hi to the policeman. Hello, Mr. Policeman. And they all wave, including Alex and all of that. So Alex is at school. So, the police officers asked, no, it's said that you are the lady that filed the complaint in terms of Miss Jennifer not being missing and, Kucha or Miss Jennifer being missing. And, the family has now opened an official case of a missing persons. So we just wanted to come and ask you, like, what prompted you to ask where the mother is or what happened? And Miss Marty is like, okay, you see that child that's checking there at the window? That is Jennifer's child. And if you can see him and you look at the other kids, you see that there's a very big difference. That is a child that is not taken care of, and these other ones are children that are taken care of. Now, for me, as a person that has been the class teacher or the teacher of this child for the past 2 years, like 2 years, right? So he was 4 going to kinder and now 5 still with the same teacher. She says that this is highly unlikely and this is not him at all and this is not his mother. His mother is not like this. His mother is neat. His mother is what? His mother is present. So for him to be going through this and looking like this and she left him with the father that is like that, it is not possible. That's why we are just, maybe we can look for her so she can come and get the child or something. Today the child came to school and the child has a whole bruise on the face, a blue eye on the face, and it's even swollen. I had to give him ice in the morning to put on it because it was swollen. And the police is like, okay, so did you at least, you know, take pictures of the child? Because now we don't want to ruffle the child's feathers, you know? And it's just like, no, I did. I took pictures and then, we took pictures and then maybe we can print them out or I can send them to you and then you can go and print them out or something, but he has bruises everywhere. It seems as though when you guys went to go and visit yesterday, it made his father really angry and his father took his anger and frustrations out on him. So it was like, oh, okay, fine. So the police is like, okay. So Ministry of Gender and Child Welfare get involved, and then they call social workers, and then social workers came to the child's school, and they were talking to the teacher and to the child. Then they did that whole evaluation. They did that whole evaluation, and then the social worker is like, we cannot leave this child with this man anymore, any longer. We can't leave this child with this man any longer. So a relative from the mother's side, from the maternal side, must come and pick up this child. Because since we don't know anybody from the paternal side, at least we know the people from the maternal side. Then the police officer called the sister of Jennifer. Now called the sister and asked, like, we're having your nephew here, but the social workers are saying that they can't put him back into the hands of the father, because it's not conducive for him. The environment is very bad for him. So what must we do? And you guys are his next of kin or his surviving relative. So what must we do? And then the sister came to the police station, also found the child there. They also went to the relevant officers, and then the auntie took the child. But the auntie that took the child, do you remember those, the two sisters that came out? One was helping the mother, and the other one is the one that came to talk to the police. The one that came to talk to the police, is the one that came to get the child and gave the child to the other sister, the one that was consoling the mother, because the other sister that was consoling the mother does not live there, because Ujeri has a temper. Ujeri is going to rock up there and is going to demand his child and what, and they are not in the mood for that kind of drama. So they took the child and they gave the child to that auntie. Now that auntie in herself, she lives there in Hockland Park. So she went with Jerry, Kucha, she went with Alex. And they went to live in Hockland Park. Now the police search went on and on, and police search went on and police search went on. And then eventually one day they decided that, like, it started going on like for a week, you know, it went on there. They're searching everywhere, you know, they are looking for leads. Like, okay, who's Jennifer's friends? Who is what? They are looking for Jennifer, you know, because I mean, it's Namibia and it's Namibian times. Everybody's like, no, find Jennifer, you know, social media. Media activists, they're reporting lies. Social media activists, find Jennifer. Jennifer, come home safe, girl. Jennifer, your baby needs you. You know, social media activists sharing the page, sharing the what. And so it became a nationwide crisis, you know, where the nation was looking for Jennifer, because when the interviews came about, they narrated Jennifer's story exactly the way she was. Jennifer was a lovely person. She was a bubbly person, and everybody knew this about her. So it is a matter of, where is Jennifer? Jennifer is not a disappearing kind. But the problem is that Jerry, the way Jerry is painting Jennifer, is like this sexually promiscuous auntie that just runs off with men, and you know, maybe she's just curled up in the truck driver's lap and she's maybe giving lap dances and BJs. she's just maybe like that, because she's a harlot, that one. And this is like, Jerry is the only person in the whole of Namibia that thinks like that of Jennifer. The whole of Namibia, he's the only one that thinks that she's capable of running off with some guy and leaving her child behind and disappearing. Says net so. Jennifer is so, man. Says a lost romance. Says so. It's like, how? Okay. And everybody, neighbors, everybody is saying, not Jennifer, guys. So ladies and gentlemen, please stay tuned.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build. Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not pick up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Back your preconceptions of technology. Explore the apps that are redefining the future. Out with the old and in with the new. From carrying physical hard copy hymn books to the world of digital hymn book versions. See the bold new expressions of the Imba app. Feel like you're part of something bigger. Experience the digital hymn book in the palm of your hands. Behold, the new and improved Imba that brings together various hymn books under one app. Here to unite a nation and spread the gospel. Some of the featured hymn books on Imba app are the Elsie Nehangano, the Osherero Omaimburiro, the Catholic Simane Kakarunga, the Afrikaans Selfwoord Diere, and many more. Contact us today if you'd like for your church hymn book to be added onto the list of Imba hymn books. 081-238-063. You can also email us at digital@omalaiti.com. Download and discover Imba today. You can find it on the App Store as well as the Google Play Store.
Mukungulele kwa tuko maikuto wa mina apiri kwa mavuchaziva. Mwele kisema app ato kasi nchavu kamso. Zakale liferile. Mise kunani zencha. Kuzwa kwa kushimba lifera zalivuka kuya kwa lifasi la lifera fama kepe. Mwone maikuto amancha a imba app. Mwikutwe kulibusi emba santo ye nguyetuna. Mwikole sifera fama kepe marizo hola mina. Amuvone. Imba encha ni encha farizwe ikopanya mifuta ya lifera matasa app ilini kukopanya naha ni kuhasa nyali nzwila mlimu. Zengwi zefu mani hamasifera sesifa app ya imba kize tatama. Elsin, Ehangano, Oshiherero, Omaemuriro, Catholic, Simane Kakarunga, Afrikaans, ni zengwi zengata. Mululi zeze kachenu, haiva mtavira kulisfera sa kireke ya mina, si ekezwe fa mkoloko walifera za imba, fa 081-235-8063, kapa mulumere imele kwa digital@omalaiti.com. Muzive ni kufuma na imba kachenu, mkona kufuma na fa App Store ni Google Play Store.
Uliyo mnangeshefa ni wahara kushigifa oma akuro weo kupitira muhurike radio station weo Eagle FM. Enya mkuro olongaha. Ningi kwa tafano na Monica kushikondosha ipindi kono raheta tuimwe, heali imwe, ne heali, imwe imwe no hamano. That is 081-7147-116. Mwamberewa kono raheta tu natu, mbali o heta tu vatatu, ne no la no natu. Ninge tumo emaila monica@eaglefm.com.na opomone oshijemo shiri nawa.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Did you know that in Namibia over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are? With over 600,000 cumulative users around the world, between the Eagle FM and Imba mobile apps, Eagle Media House has the perfect digital platforms for you to advertise your business, upcoming events, weddings, vacancies, funerals, or any other announcement that you have on their digital billboards in their mobile applications. Put your ad on our digital billboards and with one tap of the screen, lead users directly to an address of your choosing. For more information, contact Hende at 081-410-9077. That's 081-410-9077.
Good morning, ladies. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Pulling Heartstrings. So, Jerry is the only one that is talking about Jennifer in this car light off. She can just run off with men. She is probably just curled up in a fetus position in the embrace of some truck driver or some person. Or look at this other bar. Or he's really just painting her as this loose woman, this promiscuous woman, this alcoholic woman. And everybody says that Jennifer didn't drink. everybody says that Jennifer didn't drink and Jennifer is a holy woman and she goes to church and. So out of everybody's views, his view was just completely going south and everybody's going north, right? So eventually, you know, the police start searching and, the community gets wind of Jennifer's disappearance. They call it the missing person must say. They get wind of it and then they start looking. They start looking everywhere. They are looking. Now at this point, Alex is living with his aunt in Hawkland Park. He's living with his aunt and he's 5 years old. So they searched for her for like 3 months, 4 months until the case went cold, you know. Everybody started in high spirits, you know. Everybody was social media activists. Bring Jennifer home, bring Jennifer home. Everybody started, you know, in high spirits. But then eventually the hype died down because everybody went back to their lives and it is what it is. So Alex now lives with his aunt. Let's call her Ingrid, Aunt Ingrid. Alex now lives with his aunt. His aunt is a single woman. So now she's a single woman with a child. She's a single mom, basically. And she's taking care of Alex. And she enrolled him. She kept him at the same kindergarten for the rest of the year. And then also for the age of 6 as well. She kept him at the same kindergarten just so that, they wouldn't be a lot of change so that, it could help with his attachment issues and his anxiety. You should at least be in a place with a familiar teacher. And the teacher was actually really, really good to him. So she kept him there and the father would come and go on at the school. I want my child. You know, those types of things. But he was most now not allowed. And then there was a protection order and then there was a restraining order and. So he just started, you know, staying away. So as the years gone by, he's now 18 and it seems as though they are just snippets, you know, snippets of his past that just linger there in the background. He knows who his dad is and his dad like asks for him, but they're like, nah, no, we're not giving you the child. Where's Jennifer? We're not giving you the child. And the family was adamant on not giving the child to him in any way and all of that. And his life just, you know, deteriorated over the years and that's just his life, right? So one day when Alex was 25 years old, approximately 20 years after he was relocated now to go and live with his aunt. At this point, Alex is an engineer. And he works for Road Authority, for example. He's an engineer. He works for Road Authority. He's got his life together. He's been living on his own for the past 3 years. And he went to a good school, good university. He has his whole life put together. And one day he just gets like, a letter that says that he must come and go and see a specific lawyer about the property and what. So he goes, you know, he goes and sits there and the lawyer explains that, okay, so your parents are married in community of property. And right now, the house is in arrears and, It is a property and your mom still owns half of it even though she's gone and we cannot just relinquish her rights just because she's not around, because we don't know where she is. She might come back tomorrow and this is what happened. So right now the house is in arrears and the water has been cut off and the electricity has been cut off and basically your father is being evicted out of the house. He's being kicked out of the house and he must sign over the rights of the whole entire property to you because, they were married in community of property and to assume that in the event of if your mom passed away somewhere, you would still be half the owner of the house. And Alex was not happy. Alex was not happy about it. He was not happy about the house. He was not happy about anything because he had cut off his dad for a very, very long time. You know, he had cut off his dad. He has been going to therapy. He has been, you know, he's been just trying to cope with everything and coping with his mom just running off like that, you know, like how could, like, abandonment issues one on one, you know, like how could you just leave me here with this person? Like, why, you know? And so he has been dealing with his issues and he was not happy about it. But then, he went to speak to, at this time that his grandmother passed away already. So he went to speak to his aunt, his guardian, you know, and his guardian is like, well, you are renting, you know, the house is in Dorado Park. So you are renting and you can always renovate the house. And if you don't want, you can always, rent it out or something, but it is an asset and it was your mother's, you know, or it is your mother's. So I wouldn't say necessarily just leave it just like that. I would say go for it. And if you want, you can even tear down the whole house and build a new house, and see where that will take you. And because Alex valued the opinion of his aunt a lot, he decided that he's going to pay the outstanding. So there was an outstanding 120,000 on the house. That was outstanding. There was the outstanding. And then there was a 20,000 bill there by the city of Windhoek now. So in total, his bill would be 140. And he had good credits because he has never gone for a loan. He doesn't have, and you know, NSFAF money. He doesn't have any of those things. So when he went to and asked for a loan from the bank was more than willing to give him, please be in debt with us, please, please. You know, so the bank was more than willing. So he got the money and, but then he got 180 because he drove by the house and then he thought, okay, so the house is not in good condition, but if I want to renovate it, I can just buy tiles and renovate it myself and see, man, where exactly this is going to take me so that the house can just start paying back the loan because it's in a good neighborhood, it's in Dorado Park. So you can at least even rent it out for 15K a month. And then, you know, just pay back this 180. So it will make it. And also he still has his salary. He doesn't have kids. He's not married. So he thought like, okay, fine. So he goes into the house and when he gets into the house, he gets instant like flashbacks of, you know, the smell of cigarettes and booze, you know, and the stench of dirt. And it's just, like, it took him a couple of days to actually just go through the whole entire house because the house was so traumatizing for him. And it seems as though when his dad left, his dad didn't take anything. Like, so everything was just still there. Like his clothes, the fridge, the TV, everything was just still there. It was just, he just upped and left. Now he didn't ask where his dad went. But he was like, okay, fine, whatever. And so he starts cleaning out the house. Starts cleaning out the house one by one, you know, taking out the carpets because the house had carpets. So he took out the carpets, you know, he put up he took out the old things and there was a fridge. The things were there. It was an old fashioned fridge. So he didn't think of throwing it out. He just thought of cleaning it up. Maybe the new tenants can use it. And he opened the windows and yeah, he cleaned, you know, he started cleaning and it was therapeutic and traumatizing at the same time, but he made it through. So by the end of the first week, he was done cleaning. The house was spotless on the inside, but outside there was still grass that was till his hip. Because Mbera okuhenyagara, it's not a thing that his dad could do. So he started cleaning outside, and some of the neighbors that were there in his childhood had passed away sadly. But then their kids that he knew from childhood, they were also there. So like they are also grown ups now. So it was like, oh, Alex, watch it. Like, you are here, you know, how are you, Alex? And, you know, and sometimes they would sit outside and, you know, he would have his cool drink, because he vowed that he's never going to touch that stuff. He's never going to drink alcohol in his life ever since he was young. And he just vowed like, which I'm never going to drink alcohol, because if alcohol makes people do that, me, I'm not going to drink alcohol. So he'll drink his what? His cool drink, and then he'll sit there, and you know, his childhood friends, they'll come, they'll sit and they'll tell stories, like fun stories about the street. But he doesn't really remember the street too much because he was still young. He was still like a baby, but it was good because he was catching up with people that knew him, and you know, they were asking like, oh, did they ever find your mom? You know? And he's like, no, she didn't come back. It's like, oh, okay. So he was doing outside. He was cleaning outside for the next week. So he had given himself like 3 weeks, almost a month, to clear up the house and make it user friendly for the tenants to come. And then he also started with the whole putting the things on Facebook, taking pictures of the inside of the house, for Facebook, and how much it's going to cost, what. So he's doing that to see like if he can get tenants and stuff so that the house can start paying for itself, or the house can be occupied and pay him, you know, for his money that he spent on it. So he started cleaning out the outside. Now the outside, right, was massive. Like the yard was massive. It's big, but there was always like this garden shed. Now this garden shed at the back, it used to have tools. It used to have like the drill, the saws, the what. And I don't know how they maintained it, but I think that back in the day when Alex was five or when Alex was born, there were no thieves and there were no people that could just walk in and steal things, because the garden shed had everything. It had the spade, it had the big scissor, it had the rakes, all the three kinds of rakes. It's the soft rakes, it's the short rake, it's the metal rake. It had all the tools, like all the necessary tools, they were there, but they were dusty because nobody would ever use them, because his dad doesn't have time for those things. So when he went into the shed, he took out the things and he was happy that there were at least tools, because he thought that he has to go and buy tools again. So he started using those tools and he cleaned out, and he started cleaning out the yard. And he got these people to this one's with Kalori. He got those people to come and move the stuff, and you know, the rubble and the black plastic bags. And yeah, so the place was coming together. So he left the gardening for a little while because the gardening was hard labor. And you know, most, he was not really hard labor friendly. So he, when it came to the hard labor there, he worked with his time. So he left the garden like quarter way. He just started first on the outside so that he could take a good picture. But then he wanted to repaint the house. So he decided that, no, let me repaint the house and let me go on to the roof to see if the roof is leaking. You know, just, you know, general maintenance things. So he went up to the roof, cleaned out the gutters. Then he realized that the gutters are also falling. So he had to go and get new gutters. And the house was starting to look nice, not too shabby at all. And he decided that he's going to repaint the house, you know, and a bright, beautiful color. So he painted it yellow, like that bright, it's patak yellow, not mustard gold things, like yellow, like the sun. Like the sun drawn by kids. It's yellow. So he decided to make the whole house yellow and white. So he painted the house yellow and white, and then he got some guys to come and do a wall and a gate, because it was still made out of wire did that. So he got the people to come and put up a wall, and he decided to put up a gate with a gate motor and, you know, an electric fence and, you know, barbed wires. He's like, oh, everybody's like, the house is coming together. The house is coming together. And then in the front there, the more he worked on the house, it was, a little bit therapeutic for him, or a lot. It was a lot of therapy for him, because he was somehow reconnecting to a past that he didn't ever think that he was going to reconnect to. And for him, it was like the final goodbye for him. So he was making sure that the house looked immaculate. And he was also making sure that the new tenants that are moving in, they are definitely going to come in and make a home out of it. So even the tenants that he was looking for, he was looking for a real family, like, you know, a wife and kids and, you know, maybe grandparents. He was looking for people to come and accommodate the house, like, and appreciate the house. So he decided that they're in front of the house, there's like a little area there where he used to play when he was younger with his mom. So he put up grass there, and then he put up like a sprinkling system. He's very fancy, this guy, but also he's an engineer. So engineers and architects, we don't really expect any less from you guys, because you guys are in the business of creating it from scratch, you know, something. So him, he had a vision for the house. He put grass there on the other side, and then he got these garden gnomes, but they are like little fairies. So they are peeping in corners. He put them strategically because he's thinking that the kids are also going to come and enjoy the house. So the house must be filled with little treats to make the kids excited about the house, and to make the parents want the house for the kids to live in, you know. So he put out little garden gnomes, and then he planted a rose bush, you know, Ferreira garden kind of vibes, where he goes and gets a whole grown bush and off with flowers. Then he puts it into the ground and it still blooms, you know, little trees. And, you know, it was coming together, man. He fixed the driveway, put interlocks. It was coming together. It was really honestly coming together, and nobody expected that house to ever come together in the way that it came together, but it was starting to come together. And that was now the front. So he painted the house and he put up grass and he did the first part of the garden. Then he had to go to the back side of the garden. So now, if you know anything about old houses, you know that, or not even just old houses, any house, there's always this outside step that is somewhere around concrete. So he goes there, and this tap is a little, you know, fidgety. It's a little bent or something. So he decides that, he's going to fix it. And when he just started fixing it, it was just psh, water. Like, psh. I can't see, the pipe had like a little rust, because the old pipes were made out of metal. So this one had like a little bit of rust. So it was rusty, and then the water just psh. And then he had no idea where the water meter thingy is. So he looked for the water meter thingy, and the water was just running. And mind you, at the back of the house, there's still grass and there's still rubble and dirt and all of that, because he didn't finish with that side moss. So it's just dirt. He's running through the weeds and the thorns and rubble. And what I mean by rubble, I mean, take 20 years of never actually taking out the dustbin on time. And then every single time that you go and take the dustbin out, you notice that the people that pick up dustbins, they are already gone. So what this old man was doing, is emptying out the dustbin in the yard at the back for 20 years. So some Mondays he would remember and then take out the trash. But other days when he doesn't remember, he just goes and empties the dustbin just there at the back. So it was a mess there at the back. It was dirt. But mainly what was there was beer bottles. So when he was running in the chaos of the tap and the water, and he was looking for the kawiri, he stumbled upon a broken glass or something like that, and then it cut him like slightly on the feet. And you know, I don't know if he didn't think it through, but he needed to work with safety boots, but he didn't. So that was his foot. And on his toe, he got like a cut from the glass, and it was now injury time, and the water is running, and it's just a mess. And I think that in that moment, that was the moment where it hit the fan for him. Like for a moment, he felt the void. He felt the anger. He felt the void. He felt the emotion. He felt the abandonment. He felt the neglect. He felt the abuse. He felt the torment, and he felt the shame, and he felt everything in that moment, you know. And he just decided, you know what? I'm like, let the water run, and I'm going to sit down, and I'm just going to cry. So he sat, and then he just started crying, and he's sitting there, and he's crying, and he's crying about everything. He's crying about his mother. He's crying about his dad. He's crying about his life. He's crying about the mess. He's crying about like how bad it could be. Because if you go into a place and you find, over 3,000 bottles, of alcohol, like bottles, like empty bottles, like this person was basically drinking themselves to oblivion, this one, you know, and it's a lot. They're everywhere in the yard, like everywhere. And he was also not such a nice person, because, you know, there are people that walk around looking for bottles, but nobody went to his house to look for bottles. And it's not that the house is made out of, like, they didn't have a wall barrier. So you could see the bottles, but because his dad was so bad, everybody just opted, you know, to just stay away from him. Like, just leave. You know, even these people that are looking for bottles, even when he's not there, everybody's convinced that, that man will just come and beat you up or something for trespassing and whatever. So they were just bottled everywhere. So eventually he composed himself, and then he looked for the kawach, and then he closed the water, the tap. And at this point he's soaking wet, his foot is bleeding, and he goes into the house. Now he put up tiles, right? He put up tiles in the house. So he's limping now into the house to go and get some toilet paper. And he had also put a first aid kit in the house, and he starts to bandage himself up. And when he bandages himself up, he has like a flash. He has a flash, like, you know, trauma responses, guys. We spoke about this. So he has a flash of him sleeping, and basically his mom tying his hand where he cut himself, like tying his hand with a bandage. So he just froze in that moment, because it seems like it was happening and it was so surreal for him. So he just froze in that moment, and he's like, oh, okay. And after that, he continues wrapping his foot, and it seems like everything is like just flowing. Everything is flowing, because now he's in the depth of the house, and he has gone through an accident, and it's just happening, you know? So he wraps his feet up, and his foot up, and he gets into his slippers, and now he can't get into the plackies, because the way he wrapped himself up was too much bandage, too much. So he tied his whole foot like he's in a cast, but he's not in a cast. So, but it's okay, I guess, because as long as he's not bleeding. So as he's walking out, he gets the mop, because now he had made blood, on the tiles, right? He had made blood from the place where he was walking from, and he's wet. So from the place he was walking from until the corridor cupboard where there's a first aid. And he goes and gets the mop, and then he starts mopping. Now when he starts mopping, he has another flash, and he has a flash of his dad striking his mom. And the strike was so bad, he just, it was like a crack that happened, you know, it was like a crack that happened and it was silent after that, like it was silent and all he can remember is his father saying, Jennifer, stand up, Jennifer, get up, Jennifer. Jennifer, Jennifer, and he can hear it like it's happening right now. He's standing in the house. He can hear it like it's happening right. Like, Jennifer, Jennifer, who come with you so much? Jennifer, Jennifer, eh? Now you are playing dead here. Jennifer, 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 Jennifer. And he didn't understand why he was getting all these flashes, you know? And these are all new memories, right? These are all new memories to him. He didn't, like, it's not something that he remembers. So it's just maybe because he's in the house and because like all these experiences. And then he's like, oh, that's weird, you know, because it's not something it's not something that often happens. So he goes outside and then he decides to put on closed shoes. And I don't know, he's maybe strong or tolerant to pain because I cannot cut my foot and then I put on closed shoes to go and finish working. But with him, his theory was that he must finish the house because the house is going to make him crazy. So he must finish the house so that he can get out of that house once and for all. So he finishes mopping and then he puts on closed shoes and then he goes outside to go and finish up with the rest of the yard. So now he starts collecting the bottles, right? He starts collecting the bottles and places them nicely in order. And there are so many. And there are so many, so many. He puts them at the side where he had cleared already. And he just dumps them there. And he was thinking of maybe going to get a few street people or a van to go and, I don't know, drop it off somewhere, but he didn't have an idea of what he was going to do with the empty 3,000 empty bottles of beer. He didn't know what he was going to do, but he put them on one side so that they don't cut him anymore. And then he started working through the sand, you know, started working through the grass and putting things in the bags. And eventually he was done and he was done with the whole backyard because that day he was very determined. And so he takes the hose pipe. He takes the hose pipe and he starts spraying because a little bit at the back, there's sand. It's not interlocked. So there's sand. And you know, if you know anything about gardening and omwivi and stuff, you know, you have to, when you're done, you have to simmer the thing down with water. So he's spraying the ground and he's dusty and all of that. And he's spraying the place down. And there's a sense of relief, you know, that, oh, I'm finally done with this place. And now I can see what I can do. It's only the bottles that I have to work with. So he goes back into the shed. And when he goes back into the shed, he's putting now the spade, it's that yellow shandy, that long yellow thing that kind of grovels up the, like, I don't know what it's called, to be honest. But yeah, so he's putting the tools back into those, hanging positions or that standing position. And then, there's this thing called, it's not ombige, it's like, ongopora. A big, basically. So it's like a big man. Yeah, English. It's that thing that you dig with, you know, like a temo, but you dig with it. It has a sharp end. And then one side is sharp and the other side is more like it's flat and yeah. Like that. So that thing, if you know anything about that thing, ombikemos. So that thing is heavy. So that thing falls. When he was just placing everything, that thing falls. And it falls onto the concrete, like onto the concrete. But then the cement floor. You know how all these old houses, right? They have these cemented floors where there are no tiles. There are no tiles on top of it. It's just it's just like a slab of cement, has been thrown there and just forced to dry without putting, you know, tiles on top of it or making it look nice or nothing. So when that thing fell onto the cemented ground cracked, but it cracked in a weird way. It cracked like a whole full line all the way until the entrance of the door of the shed, right? So, you know, he's an engineer. This is where he knows, like, no, there's something wrong here. There's something wrong over here because foundations don't crack like that. And this looks like a solid foundation. So it doesn't crack like that. What's happening, you know? So he decides that, he's going to investigate. Now in his investigation, because he's most an investigator, detective, he decides that he's going to take that very object that fell and then he's going to drop it and see if there are other cracks that are going to come about, because then he can test now for a shaky foundation, because he also doesn't want his tenants to come in. There's a shaky foundation. What if it's hollow and what if people just fall in and get injured and whatnot? So he drops the thing again and then it makes like 5 to 10 other lines. Now, huh? This is the interesting part, like, but it's all just centered around like one space. So the rest of the shed is not getting those holes. It's not, the cracks are not going that far. It's just one centered space. Now, this one centered space is where he's standing. So he decides, you know what? Let me dig this up to see. Maybe there's a water leakage. We don't know what is under here. So he digs and he digs and he digs. And it's so shallow that he just pulled off like little pieces of rocks, because it's now concrete, right? He pulls off like little pieces of rocks and just puts them like aside. And then he gets to like this bluish duffel bag kind of things, but it's not duffel bags. It's like that material of this very, very strong tents, but it's like a blue one. So he's like, so he pulls and he tugs at it and he pulls it out, and eventually he pulls it out. So this thing just leaves like a hollow space. Like just a hollow space just there at the center of the shed on the ground. So it's just a hollow space. So it looks like the cements were two different types of cements. Now the other first concrete that was put there was glistened out. If you know anything about cement floors, right? You know that there's a specific thing that you do to make it shiny, to make it even, to make it glide like that. And then these other parts were rough. And nothing was done to these ones. So he checked and then it's like, there's a hole, like this duffel bag thing, like this whole thing came out of this piece. So there's like basically a hole. So he opens the duffel bag thing, the tent like thing. He opens it, right? And what he checks, he picks it up and he checks it's a coconut. Like a coconut, like, you know what a coconut looks like? It's brown with a little bit of hair, right? So he's like, why would somebody bury a coconut? Like, what? So he's looking at it like, coconut. Then, ladies and gentlemen, he turns the coconut around. When he turns the coconut around, he sees that this coconut has like two holes and it looks like teeth, and he realizes that this is not a coconut. This is a human skull that he's holding, and he screams at the top of his lungs. Woo! You know, he screams at the top of his lungs. He runs out. He's like, oh my goodness. What's that? Like, what's that? Oh my goodness. Okay. So, he calls the police. The police come through. They exhume, they put things aside, and then one of the detectives, now this is 20 years later, né? One of those detectives that was first working the case, né? They heard about this. They heard about basically finding a whole skeleton in a shed at what. And by then he was not retired yet, you know, because he was a young bird at the time when he started, and now he was like chasing retirement. So this was his like last rodeo or something like that. So the man hears about it, and the detectives or the police officers that are now detectives, right? They hear about this house having somebody buried there and what and what. And then they also say like, oh, it's Alex who. It's like, oh, okay. So they decided that no, they're going to pay Alex a visit. And they also put in the order for forensic DNA to be done. And they go and they talk to Alex, and then they ask Alex, like, do you think that there's a possibility that that body could have been your mom's, or that skeleton belongs to your mother? And he's like, I don't know, you know? And he couldn't contact his dad to ask, like, oh my goodness, because he didn't think like that, to be honest. So they did a DNA test, and the DNA came back positive, and it was indeed Jennifer. So what had happened was that night, when Alex got the scar, the mother went to the father, and the mother was like, no, my child has a cut and what. And then out of a rage, he pushed her, or he says he pushed her, but yeah, he struck her down, and then she just died. So when she died, he decided that he's going to wrap her up in a tent and put her in a hollow grave. And then he just put cement over it and, you know, pretended like nothing happened. So the missing persons case was officially closed, because Jennifer was found 20 years later by her son in the shed. And that was now a new chapter that Alex had to start just when he was about to finish with the trauma. So Jerry went to stand trial, and Jerry got life in prison because, whoa, air concealing. Oh, he was given many charges, many, many charges, because a lot went down. You know, like, there are a lot of things that go down in this charge office. They give you charges upon charges. It can't just be murder. Eh? It is also indecent exposure of a corpse or whatever. We'll find ways. So eventually that is the end of Jennifer's case. So imagine that after 20 years, they finally found the remains of Jennifer in the same house. And to imagine that it was just under everybody's nose. So everybody was flabbergasted. Everybody was absolutely just, it was such a sad day. It was a sad day in the lives of the people of Dorado Park, because it was hectic. They didn't think, some of them say that they thought that she was really like, so he did something to her, but some of them say that it came as a complete shock to them, and they just never thought like that would be the reality of things. So, ladies and gentlemen, that was the story of Jerry, Alex, and Jennifer. And as we speak, Jerry is still serving his sentence in the correctional facility somewhere out there. Ladies and gentlemen, so from me, the matriarch, I bid you guys farewell. I love you forever and a day. I'll see you again tomorrow at 9 o'clock.